Hi everybody, welcome to this first real actual edition of the Daily Blunder. I'm your host, J-Rai, and I am actually, when I say this is the actual first real episode, there have been a couple test excerpts been floating around for a while now. And I'm just getting back into the whole podcasting thing, and so I wanted to just start fresh with a clean, easy, clear, actual intro podcast. So I was going to just go ahead and give a little background about myself, and really just why I think a podcast would be interesting if hosted by myself, and really, if I had to sum it up, I'd say I have a very odd and diverse background, more so than your average white dude, and I would like to share my ideas, my thoughts, my pet peeves. And yes, even occasionally some opinions. So I guess content warning, trigger warning. But yeah, so that's kind of what this first episode is all about, is just kind of laying the groundwork for who I am, what I'm all about, at least for now. Could change tomorrow. You never know. So I'll try to lay the scenery out for you here. My hometown for many, many years was a rural, and when I say rural, I don't mean several thousand. I mean 850-ish on a good day. That's what I mean when I say rural. I grew up in a rural village in semi-remote south central Alaska. So I could drive to places like Anchorage, but it took 3.5-4 hours, at least until I learned how to speed a little faster. And then it was more like 2.5 hours. And the craziest part was getting used to the way that the daylight, and lack thereof, would fluctuate so much. So if you can imagine, in the middle of the summer, the sun rises at 3:30, 4-ish in the morning, and doesn't set till 1:30, 2-ish, and it never gets really dark. And so you'll get kind of sunsets that have beautiful golden haze that just kind of transition into twilight for several hours, and then that same sun pops right back up, only a little bit further over in the horizon. So it can be maddening for especially your body clock, especially if you're a teenager and there's lots of hormones you're fighting and all that fun stuff. That definitely took some getting used to. My tip and trick for that was to, in the summer, I would have a blackout cloth that I'd put over my window. And in the winter, it was more about getting as much sun as you could, and then as much virtual fun, so whether that be books or video games, board games, you did what you could, and play outside even after dark if you could, just to get fresh air. I grew up on a 40 acre, the back 40, if you will, of what was actually originally an old homesteader's lot that he had homesteaded several decades before. He then sold us the back 40, and we built our own little 24 by 16 cabin in the middle of nowhere in Alaska in the woods. And there was no electricity, there was no running water, and I just, some of the memories that I have were both how quiet it was, especially during the day, especially after a fresh snow, but then also how loud it could get at night with the coyotes and wolves howling off in the distance. And I'll never forget how clear the sky could be until the Northern Lights or Aurora Borealis would pop up, and then it would almost be like there was kind of a thin filament or screen in between the stars you're trying to look at and all of a sudden these kind of green lines and flashes, almost like an old broken TV, would kind of streak across the sky. It's very beautiful. Really hard to capture, actually, because most film don't have the ISO needed, and the exposure length doesn't really do it justice, because the Aurora Borealis actually travel pretty fast, but the amount of light needed is quite a bit to actually capture any sort of data on it. So I would definitely, for anyone who hasn't ever been to Alaska, while you might suffer from a little bit of light hypothermia, it is definitely worth it to go up there in the middle of winter to try to catch a glimpse of actual in-person Aurora Borealis. So I'll back up a little bit. I was born in one of the bigger towns in Alaska, one of the old gold mining towns up just past the Yukon, a place called Fairbanks. Was there for a good 2 or so years, and then moved south of Anchorage to the Kenai Peninsula. It's a beautiful, beautiful setting there. It was known, especially in the late 70s through the mid 2000s, for its fishing, and it still is known to this day for tourism and hunting, and specifically with tourism, there's sightseeing and whale watching, and that type of industry is still very active, as well as extreme sports, obviously. So I grew up in that type of background and setting. I didn't have the normal education as would be considered normal probably across most of the civilized world. I had, from a young age, once my parents became converts to a very strict creed, or almost cult, if you will, of Christianity, they absconded all forms of worldliness, as they called it, and that included things like public school or other more secular social events, and those times were replaced with just more time at home. So, yes, you are listening to the podcast of a former homeschooler, although I wasn't technically homeschooled for very long. I began in a pilot program that was started there in Alaska that actually did some very cool things with the local state-funded schools, the local public schools, and they would sponsor us homeschooled kids and actually give us allotments for our science kits and let us have proxy teachers that would give us our placement tests and look over our work samples. And just check our grades and all of that and help out where they could. And I also augmented that part of the education with a satellite, DVR satellite and satellite school classes. My favorite memory of that is I progressed pretty quickly and easily through those classes, and by the time I was in high school, I had figured out a couple tips and tricks to get past all of the time taken to watch these hour-long episodes. And this was right after TiVo had given us some nice features about being able to play something but at double speed, almost like you used to be able to do with the old audio tapes and make them all squealy and squeaky like the chipmunks. So I figured at about 1.5 to 2 times speed, I could listen to this unbearably slow-talking physics teacher. And he would, and he actually was very funny if you sped him up enough to actually get his jokes in time. He had a dry sense of humor, and I remember to this day just actually finding a lot of joy and actually did very well in the physics class that he taught. It wasn't all a nice fairy tale, though. I mean, there was the struggle of living in Alaska is very it's very different from the struggle of living in any other any civilized area. There is no infrastructure to speak of. The roads are there, but they're constantly under construction. There is no public transit. And the most efficient way to get anywhere is with a small charter plane or a bush plane. My dad, he actually did fly bush planes before I was born, and then after a nasty crash and me being born, he decided that it was probably time to hang up the flight jacket and he became a fishing captain after that and did guided fishing tours, and that was something that I definitely enjoyed assisting him in all the way up into my teenage years, doing deck handing and guided fishing tours. After living in the very rural 40-acre lot for several years, we were able, by the way, eventually to get some electricity and some running water to that house, and our own DSL, our own internet. That was actually considered very high speed for 1998 or whenever it was that we were able to finally get it in. But I'm technically considered a millennial, but I still remember the modem dial-ups, and still think some of the most fun games are actually the old DOS games. But I actually had to put my own internet in. The funny story with that was that we ran this thick gauge wire. We had our own bulldozer, built our own road. We drug that. We put the giant spool of cabling for internet and phone on the back of the tractor and rolled it all the way out and got it all terminated with the help of the phone company, who was also the internet service provider, and then we went to run just a regular phone cable, and we were short by about 50 or 75 feet, and so we ended up for, I want to say, 6 months or a year, we had what we affectionately dubbed the tree phone. Because thankfully the phone was pretty much waterproof, and we were able to hang it up, just screw it onto a tree, and we could usually hear the phone ring. But if we missed it, we missed it. It was okay. Worst part was when we weren't getting any calls, and we discovered that one of our goats, we had 20 goats for several years there, and we discovered that one of the goats had decided it. Phone line was tasty and chewed through it. There is so many different types of just crazy experiences. Being face to face with some pretty crazy nature. Things like a lynx. Not many people have been inches, and I mean 3-4 inches face to face away from a lynx. I'd been hunting pheasants and grouse and had just downed a grouse with a long barrel 22 rifle that I had been very well trained in and had hunter's license and everything in. I was maybe 13 or 14 at the time and fired my shot, went to go gather the fowl that I had just downed and bent over to pick it up, and right there, right in my face, was this lynx that apparently had almost got to that same one. We were both hunting the same thing that day. It was a very interesting time, especially out when I was in those woods. The peace, the quiet, the untouched wilderness. I miss that every day. Especially now that I work in the literal opposite of that. I work in Midtown Manhattan now, and there are trees, there is foliage, but there's not nature. And unless you want to count the concrete jungle, and I definitely miss skiing and some of those other activities out for miles, untouched miles, where it was just ungroomed trails and untouched meadows that you could just fly along in with your pair of skis. So after growing up in Alaska, I then made my way down to South Carolina. Went to a very, very strict Christian higher education school, university, technically. There I actually received a radio and television degree. And that radio and television degree was actually very strong. It was able to get me and land me a job through my internships at a Red Sox affiliate for several years right out of school. And eventually for a large digital signage, large format, some would call them Jumbotron, provider. And now I work for a broadcast software company that was kind enough to move me up to New York several years back. So why this podcast? What are we going to cover? I think the answer to that is, what aren't we going to cover? I plan on having quite a few different ranges and types of podcast formats, as well as including interviews, blurbs from and clips from today's news, and maybe even some experimental stuff, maybe some vlogs, maybe some other formats, some Facebook Live or some YouTube live streaming, just to mix it up a little bit. So stay tuned on that. I'm in the technology space. Broadcast technology is my thing. It's my jam. As is audio mixing. I have DJed and been a sound engineer for many, many years. So apologies. I know my mic is junk, and we'll see. Hopefully it gets better over time as sponsorships get better and all of that. My political leanings are kind of cloudy right now. I will say, though, I've voted and defended and been in several on opposite ends of the spectrum. Everything from a libertarian slash Republican that owned firearms and was a staunch pro-life, pro-teaching 6,000-year creation in schools. Very much a person that a Mike Pence would have been proud of. That is not where I'm at today, and part of this podcast is a story of kind of how I have come to some of the positions I have now, and also how I've come to not value landing at a position necessarily anymore, and try to shut up and listen a little more, and observe a little more, and as always, try to read more, and listen to other podcasts, and I'll definitely reference other podcasts, definitely cross-promote a little bit there. Some amazing people across the podcast iverse have been very helpful in my path and my life. So that's a quick intro. It's nothing fancy. I may start up a Mastodon social thread so that maybe we, as we get more discussion and have more interviews and more people calling in and leaving voice messages and all the other fun stuff that you can do through this podcasting app that I'm using. It's called Anchor. You should use it. You should try it. It's amazing. We'll be able to interact with each other over different social media platforms and definitely drop a line, send an email, however you want to communicate how you want to see some change or any suggestions or definitely questions about both my the background and the craziness that has been my life and the different perspectives that I might have from kind of your average everyday white American Joe. So that's kind of that is all I really had planned. I do want to maybe just go over a couple other fun things, like just to put some things in context. I am restarting and re-upping my podcasting attempts here in this year, 2019. So if you do see some random test clips floating out and around and in the etherwebs, just know that this is the real, authentic, first actual podcast. Anyhow, this is Jay Rye. I'm signing off. Enjoy the daily blunder.